You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
We are very proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network. Check out bpn.fm/husbands to see all of our episodes and some amazing other Broadway-themed podcasts as well. Okay. I'm real excited about today's guests because they're one of our favorite Instagram couples. please welcome to the show, Brock Johnson
and Taylor Arco.
Hi. Hey, guys. Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Really excited.
How's Seattle these days?
It's fun. Very outdoors, perfect for us. There's lots of like rain and snow, which sounds the opposite. Sounds like no one would want to be outside, but for us, it's perfect. We can go hiking in the mountains and we go snowboarding a ton. So Seattle's wonderful this time of year.
Yeah, you're killing the snowboarding game. I see.
Yeah, Taylor's killing the snowboarding game. It's her first year doing it and she's already got some viral TikToks and she's been learning really fast. So yeah,
I just decided to go for it and like really commit. So I said, I want to go every weekend all season, and he was on board with it.
I've never even water skied.
I've never been on snow skis though. I'm always just too afraid to try it.
I'm just too afraid. Well, like your legs make your money, so.
So for those of you, for the listeners that don't know you guys, maybe you could introduce one another and then tell us who you are together.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Do you want me to introduce you first?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is my fiance, Taylor.
Ooh,
she ran track in college. She was an 800 runner at the University of Iowa. For most of her life, she thought she would be a nurse or kind of like somewhere in the medical field. That's always kind of what she's been passionate about. But throughout her college experience, really started to grow in personal development and her interest in therapy and the mental health aspect inside of things. And so now she's a certified life coach, and she's also simultaneously going to school to get her master's to become a licensed marriage and family therapist. And she's like a mini Brené Brown. Yesterday we did an Instagram live and she said that that's her inspiration. That definitely is like, if you can picture a 22-year-old, Brené Brown, who loves snowboarding and is super outdoorsy and athletic. That's Taylor.
That's awesome.
I'm going to talk about intro. This is Brock, my fiance. We went to high school together. He's been an entrepreneur from the day he was born, always coming up with business ideas to help people. He played college football at UC Davis. While having a six-figure business to teach people how to grow on Instagram to promote their own businesses themselves. And one of the most kind, patient, helping people that you'll probably ever meet.
Thanks.
Aww. So for, you know, you guys are a different couple than what we normally have, and the reason why I thought it would be really cool to have you on our podcast is we just get people who are like in the arts, who are performers, but what you guys do together, as you both have really built an online presence, and you the way you share yourselves on social media and you shared your engagement and all that stuff, I think it's so beautiful and so powerful. Mm-hmm. And I really want our audience to see some great examples of like what young, ambitious, and what people who are also like so inventive, what you've done this year with this time has been super impressive. And so for those of you listening,
just pay attention, because I think you might be like, well, they're not in a Broadway show. It's like, no, there's some really cool stuff that the two of you are doing that I think people could really learn from. So thank you for
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
It's true.
So going back to high school, which I just doesn't seem like it was that far away, how did you all meet? Were you in class together, or were you like stalking one another, or like who was stalking who? How did y'all meet?
Yeah. So in high school, we were in similar circles because we were both athletic. And so we, you know, around the kind of like sports circles and whatnot. And so we started dating sophomore year of high school. And about 72 hours or so after we started dating, and this is not an exaggeration, I said, I didn't say I love you, but I said that I want to say it. And that very rightfully so scared young Taylor. And it scared her to the point where a couple weeks later she broke up with me. So people often think that we're high school sweethearts and we've been together for 8 years, but we haven't. She broke up with me after about a month or two of dating. So we can look back and see pictures and say that we dated in high school, but know that ultimately, like, we're not high school sweethearts. We grew very far apart, actually, after we broke up in high school. And we were very different people, I would say.
Taylor, so what scared you about that?
Well, he didn't even actually say it. So there was some awkwardness behind it, because it was like, I want to say I love you. And I mean, how do you respond to that? Because he kind of just did say it. So then I obviously didn't feel the same way. So I felt very awkward for a few weeks and kind of like tried to avoid him, but I couldn't because he was technically my boyfriend. And eventually, I just said I wanted to talk, and we broke up, and we didn't talk again for like 6 years.
So when was the moment where you came back together?
We came back together. So we just kind of slowly started following each other again on social media. We were going to school across the country from each other. And she kind of initiated the like reconnection in that I posted a sticker on my story asking for book recommendations. And rather than just giving me one, she sent me an entire list of book recommendations, which is very Taylor and very much tells you about what she's into and what she's passionate about. But then one day, a few months later, I was coming out of surgery because I had cracked my tooth and I spent about a year and a half without a tooth. That's a whole nother story. I was coming out of one of my dental procedures, and I was on some laughing gas, and I used that as an excuse to kind of step into some confidence. And I DM'd Taylor, direct messaged her, and basically just said, hey, this might be the drugs talking, but would you like to go get breakfast with me the next time we're in the same city?
And what did she say?
I said, yes, I would love to. He recommended that we talk about personal development, and that is obviously something I'm really passionate about, so I couldn't turn that down. So then we got breakfast, and I brought a book for him to borrow because he'd have to give it back eventually. So I just made sure that I'd see him a second time. It was the end of summer. We were both going back to school, so it would have been easy to disconnect, so I just kind of wanted to leave him something.
That is so sweet. And that is so intentional and just so sweet. Oh my God, I love that idea. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I feel like we could have a whole episode talking about personal development stuff too, because I'm such a nerd about personal development. So that'll be another, I'll have to just like hop on call, Taylor. So talk about your engagement now. So you just recently got engaged, but what made you decide like, okay, now's the time?
Yeah. Well, you know, we had been talking about it for a little bit, and I think because of everyone, and everyone in the world will relate to this, everyone listening will relate to this, like the pandemic, 2020, quarantine, everything, like just like everyone's world is upside down and nothing is going according to plan or schedule. So we very much going into our relationship in 2020, we're like, okay, like maybe we'll get to hang out a few different days here and there and spend a weekend together here and there. But we were both still in college. I had a year left. She had a half a year left. So we weren't planning on spending that much time together. But then quarantine happened and we were both kind of shut down at college and back living in the same town. So we went from, in a matter of just a week or two, long distance, hey, I'll see you in 3 months, to basically living together. And because of quarantine, we weren't seeing other people. So we were really only just seeing each other and each other's family. And so while we weren't technically moved in together, for about 4, 5, 6 months there, we were basically living together. Then we decided to kind of pull the trigger, move on, graduate from college and move to Seattle. And now we've been living together in Seattle for about 6 months. And we kind of, I mean, we've definitely talked about it a few times, but I think your mom had the great question, which I can kind of let you tell the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But
so there was a lot more timidness on my end when it came to an engagement.
I think we've seen since sophomore year of high school that I'm very bold in my profession. Yeah, of love.
I wonder where you got it.
And so I was just a little bit nervous because that's obviously a really big commitment. And I had a lot of questions about how do you know when you know, and you know, just some nerves about around the idea. Basically, my mom said, what changes if you get engaged or get married? And there's kind of this long pause on the phone. And I felt like I didn't have the answer because the only answer that could come to mind was nothing. And she was like, yeah, so why is it so scary? If nothing changes in the relationship, what's the scary part about it? And like kind of all of my fears just went away because I saw that nothing's going to change and I didn't want anything to change. So why not?
Yeah.
I love that.
What? So now when you first moved in together in Seattle, what was one thing that you learned about each other that maybe you didn't know before now that you were living together?
What do you want to go first? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
No, but I think you do.
I do. I feel like you know well, it for me.
What came to mind, this is more about me, that I feel like it was just an adjustment, is that I'm very sensitive with my environment. And so it's important that everything has a place and everything's very clean and smells good. And so that was an adjustment just because we have different like standards when it comes to that. And that's totally okay. It was just an adjustment for, I think, the both of us when it comes to that.
That's a really nice way of saying that I was a college football playing boy and wasn't used to or ready to live with
laundry.
A girl who prefers things to be clean. I would agree that that was definitely a hurdle to overcome. But I think too, also just like learning to communicate like, hey, just because we're living together, I still might need some alone time, or I still might need some space, or hey, you know, I got to work today. Can you kind of pick up this slack? You're really more so than ever before in our relationship. We were like on the same team and having to really like figure out all that goes along with that.
Yeah. So talking about work, you know, Brock, you have an entire business that you've built even while you're in school, you know, that is totally online. You work from home. Taylor, you're now doing that. You're now doing private coaching. How do you facilitate your space and your hours and be able to balance all of that while living in the same space that you work?
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that is nice is that Taylor is still nannying. So she nannies in the mornings and spends the first few hours of her day with that family. And so we kind of are almost on reverse schedules where she's there. That's when I like to do most of my coaching, most of my webinars, most of my interviews, most of my work takes place then. So then when she gets home and she can kind of go into whether it's like school mode, learn mode, or working on like her actual real things that she's motivated towards, like life coaching and therapy and things like that, then I can do other things so that she doesn't have to then get home from nannying and then have to clean the house or have to do the laundry or, you know, things like that. So I think that that's a big way that we've balanced. Do you want to talk about some other ways like we've like split up our space and boundaries around that?
Yeah. So we kind of have our spaces that we work and we let each other know like, hey, I'm going to work. So don't distract me or don't tell me stories or anything like that. We're best friends. So it's really easy to just get distracted and start talking or playing around. We have dedicated times throughout the day that I'll work. And also he's been really helpful that when I'm working, he'll try and find work to do. He always says, I can always find something to do. Mm-hmm. So even if he doesn't necessarily have deadlines, he'll try and just take up his time so that he's not distracting me.
And I think one habit that we picked up, and this was actually something we picked up before we moved in together, was just asking each other, like, is now a good time? Because sometimes you're just sitting across from your partner and you're both working and you might think, oh, well, my partner's just on their laptop, like they're just hanging out and, you know, doing whatever, but maybe they're in the middle of typing a sentence and you don't realize it. And you're super excited to tell them this story, but you kind of have to first ask yourself, like, can this wait until I can clearly, you know, I can clearly see that they have a moment? Or like last night, I remember I asked her, I said, hey, like, is now a good time for me to interrupt you and tell you a story, or are you working? And just kind of recognizing that you're going to have a way better conversation if you start it that way, rather than like starting it when the other person's in the middle of something and then you're frustrated that they're not giving you their full attention and they're frustrated that you interrupted them. So I think it's a really good habit we built.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Brett?
I wish all the listeners could see the faces y'all are making at each other.
Literally, Stephen's like, hey, can I show you this reel I made? And I'm in the middle of like writing a blog post.
Oh my God.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Wait, so you know great. What I think, can you talk about a little bit about, you do like a 2-week check-in with each other and you talk about your short-term goals. Can you talk a little bit about what you do at your 2-week check-in and how you guys communicate?
Yeah, so this was inspired by two of my favorite marriage and family therapists who are now researchers in Seattle, and they recommend a weekly check-in, but we decided to do every 2 weeks just because that seems like an easier commitment, but it's still really great for the relationship. And so the first time we sat down and we thought about questions that we would want to ask that we thought would be helpful. So some examples are, do you want to spend more or less time together? Is there anything that you want to talk about? And then we also do some self-reflection and some affirmations for the other person. So, hey, I noticed these past 2 weeks you did this for me and I really appreciated that. And hey, these past 2 weeks I've been working on this, and, you know, just communicating that, so that I think sometimes you don't always see the other person's effort. And so talking about that as well puts a little bit of a better twist and makes it a more positive conversation too.
Yeah, we were super inspired when we saw you share that on Instagram. And of course, we've always set the intention to do it. And then
we set the intention to do check-ins, meetings,
and then, you know,
all the
Netflix
time.
Wins.
Yeah. And then, yeah. You know, if he doesn't bring it up, I'm like, well, he didn't bring it up. I guess we'll go like get ice cream or something, you know.
But we were super inspired by that, and it's been super helpful when we've done it. So thank you for that. You inspired that. So social media is a big part of your lives, and I imagine Brock, knowing your mom and her life as a marketing, you know, guru, social media has been
a huge part of your life. How has social media affected your relationship, the two of you together?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I think on a relational level, there hasn't been a lot of stress or pressure added. On a personal level, for me, it was definitely an adjustment. I kind of adopted this mindset of my social media is for me, not for anyone else. And I became very private and very selective with what I shared. So when Brock and I started dating, it was a lot to get used to think that these people that I don't know are following me and they genuinely care about me and us. And that was an adjustment. It was also an adjustment just to share so much of our personal life, especially our relationship, because I didn't grow up like that. But I think I've adapted well.
Yeah, I think you've adapted very well. And I think that early on, what I did intentionally, knowing that like I had this big audience on multiple platforms, was I first, again, asked her, is it okay if I share this? Is it okay if I post this? Is it okay with you that I'm kind of sharing these things about our relationship? Because different people have different levels of, you know, they want to be shared online, different amounts of privacy. And I would say very early on from the start, you were open, like, yeah, go ahead and post it. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead and post that. Very open, which allowed me to kind of post more and allowed you to also start to just feel what it's like to, oh, okay, these people who I don't know their name, I've never met them, are asking me personal questions about my life and following me on social media. And then now, more recently in the last few months, we've become very integrated into each other's social media. And so I'm the only person who responds to my DMs. And I'll put an asterisk on that because sometimes it's Taylor speaking for me. Like if I'm driving, I'll hand her my phone and she can answer my DMs. Or sometimes she'll ask me for advice on, you know, should I post this? Or how do you think I should phrase this? Or should I go live on Instagram about this? So we've kind of adopted a role in each other's social medias, which has kind of made it, again, more like a team feel where it's like we're kind of in this together and it's not me on my Instagram and you on yours or anything like that. But again, it's something that has slowly progressed and evolved over time.
Yeah. It's just funny. It makes me think of there are times in our relationship when we'll be doing something and Brett will be filming me and I'm like, can you please stop? And then I'll look on our stories and it made it on our stories. And I'm like, I cannot believe you put that out there. Anyways, yes. Yes.
Meanwhile, it gets the best engagement, you know, because he didn't know. Right.
Of course.
Okay. So what do you want to do together next? Something that you maybe haven't done yet.
Yeah. I think, well, like I'll let you first talk about what we're doing life-wise coming up soon.
Okay. So we are in the process of buying a 20-foot Airstream. So that come July, we can live out of it full time and travel the US and hopefully Canada.
Mm-hmm. So that's like life-wise. We're going to be living out of a trailer, which is very new and different. Something we've actually been talking about for a while. It was something we talked about doing before, like, you know, as one of the options besides moving to Seattle was like, what if we moved into a trailer? What if we bought like one of those vans and renovated it to make it into a home? So that's like our big next life thing that we're doing.
You better come to Texas. That's huge.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And she has family in Texas. Yeah. So yeah, we'll definitely have to come and visit and hang out. And hopefully just everything opens up and it's safer and everything. But it should allow us just an opportunity to also travel in a safer way without having to fly, you know. Mm-hmm. But eventually, kind of long term together, having this background in marketing and having a family with like academies and ways to teach people about marketing. We have a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners who we work with. And I see it time and time again, that oftentimes it's like the mindset that holds people back. And oftentimes it's mentalities and it's mental struggles and it's past traumas and it's these different barriers and blockades. And like, that's what she loves. And so eventually we are planning one day, you know, to work together in a way that she can kind of help business owners with that kind of thing. And also help business owners who are married and maybe they're in business with their partner and maybe they're, you know, maybe they're not, but just like kind of balancing all that and learning what all that's like. So I think long term, that's what we're going to get into.
Yeah.
So smart. Yeah. I mean, we certainly, because I'm a certified life coach, you know, and then Stephen with his ballet training, we've always talked about doing similar, kind of a similar thing. It's so smart to, because I can talk about mindset. He can really talk about performance and, you know, and using your body and all that technique stuff that he does. So, it's so smart. So smart.
Yeah. So speaking of technique and dance, who is the better dancer?
Oh, I will say proudly that I'm the better dancer, yeah. But she is willing to dance with me, which I do appreciate.
Yeah. Your dance videos are excellent.
They're excellent.
Well, Brock, them. You wanted to be on So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, it's been a lifelong dream to be on So You Think You Can Dance. I know that I'm in no way skilled enough to probably even make it past the initial round of auditions. But growing up, like, that was my thing. We would watch So You Think You Can Dance, and during the commercial break, I would reenact whatever routine we just saw. It didn't matter if it was a tap routine or if it was like a hip hop routine or if it was whatever it was. I was going to try to recreate it. And so that was how, like, I learned most of the moves that I have today. And then I also recently found out that I was kind of lied to from a young age. I thought I won a talent competition, but it turns out my parents just lied to me and I didn't actually win. And I was like 7 years old. So my entire life, I pointed at that moment and said that this is proof to me that I'm a great dancer and I'm never going to stop dancing. And I found out like a week or two ago that that was all a lie and I didn't actually win.
Oh, Shalene and Brett.
Wait, what happened? They just said, they were like, oh, Brock, you know, congrats, you won, we got to go. What happened?
Okay, Stephen, we were on the Disney cruise. I was like 8 years old, and I entered into a talent competition, which everyone else was singing. But I went up to the DJ, and I said, hey, I'm not going to sing. I'm going to do a dance routine. And he said, okay, what song do you want? And I said, just give me anything by Eminem. And so he found the one clean Eminem song that he could play on the Disney cruise. I did a hip hop dance routine. And then soon after that, it was bedtime. So my parents were like, all right, we got to go back to our room. And they found out along the way that I didn't win. But they told me the next morning when I woke up and I was like, okay, did I win? Where's my prize? They said, yeah, you won. But they don't want you to have to worry about the prize while you're on the cruise. So we're just going to mail it to you. So then my parents went on Amazon and they bought me like a Mickey Mouse boombox, mailed it to our house so that when we got home from the Disney cruise, the boombox is waiting there. And here I am 15 years later, still thinking that I won the dance off on the Disney cruise.
Well, that is the sweetest
it's
thing.
It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah,
actually.
That's actually super sweet.
I know.
But do you think your dance ability helped you on the football field?
In a weird way, it did. Because I'm not fast. Like, I'm not, she's the fast one. She's the one who can, like, if we're getting chased by cheetahs, they say, like, you don't have to be faster than the cheetah. You just have to be faster than the slowest deer you're with. Like, she's getting away first. I'm the one who's getting caught. I'm very slow. But I will say, like, there's still a certain amount of, like, body coordination that's required, whether you're a football player or a dancer, and a certain amount of, like, knowing how to move your feet and knowing how to, like, move in confided spaces and around human bodies and your spatial awareness. So I will say that, yes, I do think my dancing did help me in my football career.
Yeah, for sure.
I bet it did.
All right. So now we'd like to talk about
Mila.
Oh, yeah.
Magical powers.
I'm in love with Mila.
Yeah.
So Mila is 3.5 years old. I got her while I was in college. And
what kind of dog is she?
She's half collie, and then her mom was an Aussie Australian Shepherd Husky mix. So she has all three of those very smart, very fluffy breeds. And she's a genius. I've had her for 3.5 years. And when I got her, I immediately spent a lot of time training her. She knew like 10 tricks by the time she was a few months old. She's very intelligent and she has a really good demeanor, which makes her very easy to train. Mm-hmm. So then when over quarantine, a bunch of dogs started using buttons to talk, we were like, we have to do this for Mila. She's so smart. She's always trying to communicate with us. So we got the buttons and now we know so much about her.
Well, now she has an Instagram account. What is it, Mila?
it's Meesa with two E's, so M-E-E-S-A underscore Mila, M-I-L-A. Meesa Mila.
So good. And every time she's like, Dad, and then howls for Dad or Mom. My heart just melts.
That's the one. That's her first video that like went viral on Reels. It's got like 300,000 views or something now. It was a funny story. I took the other dog potty because Mila told me to. She told me Shotzi, which is our other dog, Shotzi potty. So I said, okay, Shotzi potty. And while I was outside taking Shotzi potty, Mila threw a fit and was crying. And she pressed the dad button and howled for me. And it's funny, in the last few days, we've actually gotten some comments on the video saying, this is animal abuse. You abandoned her. I was like, I took the other dog potty for a couple minutes. But it is hilarious to watch Mila. And it's also really, really exciting to, you know, get to communicate with your dog and like have her speak to you through buttons.
I'm impressed. It inspires me when I get a dog. I'm going to figure out how to train it with the buttons. You've totally inspired that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
And she's so good. Yeah, she's so smart.
It's amazing. So cool.
She is. She's starting to form her own word combinations to communicate other words that she doesn't have a button for. So like most recently, she pressed water potty. And she's been doing it quite a bit. And we think that it means that she has to pee.
Mm-hmm. Like another crazy example of that is she knows what bone is. And she has a button for bone. And she knows what tug is. Like that's her rope. And she has a tug and she has a button for tug. But recently she started using the combination bone tug. And we thought like, oh, maybe she's just telling us she wants her toys in general or something. But then she pressed bone tug and she would go over and she has one rope that has piece of a bone like going through, like the rope goes through the bone. And now whenever we press like where's bone tug, or we ask her go get bone tug, she gets that specific toy. So it's like she named the toy herself and is now like kind of taught us this is what the toy is and this is what I'm calling it. It's crazy.
But then what about Shotzi? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love Shotzi. God bless her heart. She is so cute and such a sweetheart. But she spent the first year of her life in a shelter. So it's really important early for dogs' development to learn how to learn. And she just never really learned how to learn. So she's laid on the buttons as if they're like a blanket. She stomped earlier today. She stomped across them. She does not know they exist. She's used them one time. And we don't know how that happened. That was like a lightning strike. But she hasn't taken a big interest in the buttons. Luckily, though, Mila does a lot of speaking for Shotzi.
It's so cool. It is so cool.
Yeah.
So y'all go follow Meesa Mila. It's so cute. Okay. So Brock, you know, we've had conversations before, and we know you're very open about your faith. Do you both share similar beliefs, and how has that shaped your relationship in your communication?
Yeah, we do. I think that we practice a different way. So he does a daily devotional every day. I don't, but we still talk about it when churches open back up. We'll go to church together. We did before quarantine and before everything shut down too. So we do practice and believe the same things. I think that we just practice it different ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's important for a relationship or to be able to have similar faiths?
I think so. I think that having similar faiths and beliefs and political views and things like that, I think that's important in a relationship. I think it's tough waters to navigate if you don't. And if you don't have those similar beliefs, views, whatever, then at least let's put them all out on the table beforehand so that you can be like, hey, this is where we disagree. We love each other, but at least we know that these are the disagreements we have, rather than just being like, hey, we've been together for 4 years. Let's not talk about those things because they're tough they're tough topics. And then you end up staying with someone who you really at your core don't agree with on a lot of really important issues.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, because part of our bonding experience in the beginning was being sober, and that was kind of how we communicated.
Big part of our spiritual each other. Path.
So, Yeah. I don't know that if we didn't have that bonding experience, if we had, would have been so truthful with one another and been so open and available.
It creates a vocabulary. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's super important.
That's great. We're everyone who's listening, make sure you go follow you guys. Where can people follow you on social media?
My social media is Taylor Arco. Just that, flat out, Arco like the gas station, but I'm not related to it. I wish I was.
And I'm Brock 11. I wish you were in oil money. Like, that would make both of our lives a lot easier.
I get that question,
big oil money.
I get that question all the time, and the disappointment on everyone's face when I say, no, I'm not related, is just like, oh.
Yeah, and I'm Brock 11 Johnson on all socials. The 11's right there in the middle. I like to say that 11 is my middle name, and so Brock 11 Johnson on all socials.
Yes, great. Yes. So we're now going to move into a segment that we call Spotlight on Love. All right. So as most of our listeners know, we have someone write into us, shoot us a DM on Instagram, or shoot us an email at probablyhusbands.com. asking for some sort of relationship, dating, maybe even familial relationship advice. And then we and our guests offer our completely unqualified advice in return. So this week we have an anonymous person. They want to remain anonymous. And their question was...
Their question is, how can you start dating someone during a lockdown state of emergency?
Or
is it even possible?
Mm, okay.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think that that's one of the many beauties of the era that we are living in, is that they're like, right now we're able to see each other's faces and communicate and record this podcast and hang out together. Like what we did, and this is a really a perfect question for us to talk about, is early in our relationship, we were long distance for the first 2 or 3 months or so. But we were really intentional in that time. And I really think that we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the way we handled our business in that time together. What we would do really tangibly is we would, throughout the day, we would text here and there, but not really. We would mostly just keep a log to ourselves of the big moments that happened in the day, the things that you want to tell someone about, the big things you did, the aha moments, the funny things. We basically would keep a list of notes in our phone. And then at night, we would FaceTime every single night, sometimes for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours at night. And just, first of all, that gave us a great opportunity to really have an engaged conversation. And then also in that FaceTime, it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to cook, I'm going to have FaceTime on in the background, I'm going to play video games and have FaceTime on in the background. We were intentional. So like, we set up the phone and stared into the screen and talked to each other. And then the other thing that we did.
We also wrote down questions that would come up throughout the day. So if I would randomly think of like, hey, do you eat mac and cheese with a spoon or a fork? Which is one of my favorite questions to ask people. I'd write it down and remember to ask him. But the other thing that we did is we asked really intimate questions. Mm-hmm. So we played one of our favorite games, We're Not Really Strangers. It has three different levels, starting from something really basic and superficial to deeper questions. And then the third level is a reflection. And so we would play that for hours on mm-hmm. end, and you really get to know someone, because some of the questions are like, what's your biggest fear? Huh. And so that's just a really great way to build a really deep connection and a lot of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome.
We're Not Really Strangers? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, We're Not Really Strangers. It's actually, she has a really huge Instagram account. And I bet if you look at her Instagram account, you'll recognize some of the photos, because some of the photos she shares are like super trendy and popular in like the mental health space and the quote space and the relationship space. But she created a card game around this kind of intimacy experiment where there's three decks of cards, like Taylor said, and you go through the decks and there's different levels of intimacy with each deck. And we've been through every deck in the whole game. And it's called a game, but there's no like winner, loser. There's no points. It's basically just like a bunch of questions to ask each other. And so we would do that every single night. And we really got to a deep level of intimacy very fast. Like, we got past the What do you want to do with the rest of your life? What's your major? You know, what classes are you in right now? We got past that and into the, like, what childhood traumas are you working through in therapy right now? We got to that stage very quickly. And again, to kind of circle back to the original question, like, that happened, I get it, about a month before the actual pandemic began, but it would have been the same thing if the pandemic was going on. It's FaceTime and it's building that relationship that way. Virtual dates where, you know, we'll cook the same thing or order the same food or watch the same movie. We did that a few times. So there's ways to kind of keep it interesting and keep some variety to it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything. Yeah. I think I'm going to get that card game.
Yeah. When they get that.
Yeah.
And even, you know, just thinking back on, when Brett and I first started dating, we had like some long distance when you were in Denver. And this was before, was this before the iPhone? It was right when the iPhone
got the
came
first
out.
iPhone,
so there was no FaceTime.
It was 2007.
So anyways, but we, you know, we talked on the phone, like, for, you know, in the evenings, we would talk on the phone for
FaceTime was
time.
New, but it was really,
I don't think that
shoddy.
Existed yet. But yeah, I mean, I think it's totally possible to date somebody during this
but
time.
I think, like you said, what's really important about what you said is that this opportunity allows you to be very intentional about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference between, you know, I at least my experience of like living in New York City and dating, you know, it's sometimes it can just be frivolous and you're just kind of going on dates because it's what you're supposed to do because you're single. But now it's like you can be very intentional because if you're going to spend time on a computer getting to know somebody, have some intention behind it and make it really clear what you want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't you agree that relationship and marriage count future therapists?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that is my favorite thing about our relationship. We still play that game and we still come back to the questions that we asked early on because, you know, things can change. And so we just like to stay connected on that level. But I would say that at least for me with my past relationships, our connection that we had after a few months of dating was deeper and more intimate than any connection I had in another relationship because we were so intentional with our time and with our conversations. There was a lot of commitment on both ends.
Wow. And you're only 22. Is that right?
Yeah.
22. Wow. 22, but very much the words of Brené Brown and vulnerability and daring greatly have sunken into this one. Like, that was what kept coming up when you were speaking just now is like, you know, practicing that intentionality is tough, but also it's tough because like there's some vulnerability there to really commit to being intentional with a relationship during the pandemic when, you know, like you said, Brett, you could just kind of, you know, go on dates or hang out with people online and FaceTime people here and there just because it's what you're supposed to be doing or it's what other people do when they're single. But to be intentional and to kind of commit to that level of intimacy, that's being very vulnerable. It's something that I always really admired in her and something that she encouraged out of me for sure. And I would agree that I think it's my favorite thing about our relationship.
Yeah, it's scary. It can be scary. But at least for me, it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most things that are worth it are scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. This was so great.
Yeah. You're so inspiring.
We're so glad we got to connect with you during this time. And everyone, we'll put all of their links in the show notes here. So make sure you go follow. If you're looking for some Instagram inspiration, Brock is the best teacher.
The best.
For learning how to master your Instagram game. And Taylor is offering some awesome tips for personal development. And of course, I'm sure there's so much more to come, which I'm super excited about. And for all of you listening, don't forget to love who you love
and love what you do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.